All right, here we go. Pardon me. Gemach Shem Tov, everybody. Once again, to remember, we are for all those in video land out there. First of all, Shkreich, and all the comments that come in, I do approximately see, even if I don't respond. Thank you very much, all those people out in cyberspace. Again, we're continuing with our topic of Hilchos Teshuvah of the Rambam in honor of the season. And next Wednesday, we will emerge Shem do Sukkot. We're on next Wednesday, yes, we assume. Right, and next Wednesday, we'll do Sukkot. Then we get back to, once we have a nice long string of classes, we'll get back to our topic of Oral Law. Last week, we ended with a problem. And I want to give you the mind-boggling answer with a life-changing concept from Rav Yecheskel Sarna Zatzal. It's not me, it's not Rabbi, it's Rav Yecheskel Sarna, Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, which I found life-altering for my understanding of Yom Kippur Neser Simei Tshuva. Our problem was like this. The Rambam gave us a whole five-step tshuva process. The Rambam was very strong on not shooting off your mouth and promising you'll never do it again until you're pretty sure that that's going to have some reality. You're promising that there's no reason in the world why you think you can keep, you will crash, and then you'll feel like a loser, right? And the Rambam was clear. On the top of the page, Halacha Aleph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down, Ketzad Mitvadim, what is Vidui? When you do tshuva, the vidui is, Ana Hashem, chatasi avisi pashati, I've done a lot of things wrong, lefanecha, v'asiti, specifically, I did kach v'kach, whatever. V'arin yichamti, I regret it, boshti b'masa, I'm embarrassed, u'liolam eini chozer, the dovers, I'll never do it again. Zeo ikaro shel vidui, that's the main essence. The main line of vidui is to say I'll never do it again. If you can't say I'll never do it again, so wait till you can say I'll never do it again. Don't. That's the eat mitzvah to term of vidui. You got, I'll do it better, good. But vidui, the Torah dikka vidui, is when you finish a tshuva process and you can in good conscience say, I'll never do it again, which could take lifelong. Our problem was, so what are we going to say in Yom Kippur? In Yom Kippur, we go through all these averos. And maybe on some of them, we haven't done them for a while, and we can say, no, I haven't done it for a long time, I'll never do it again. But by and large, that's not true. So what's the whole vidui in Yom Kippur? Right? Let's take it worse. The Nesana Tokef. We said it Rosh Hashanah. We're going to say it again Yom Kippur. And it says clearly, you know, who's going to live, who's going to die, who's going to be rich, who's going to be poor, right? And it says, but, oh, so it's all scary. What are we going to do? Tshuva, tfilo, tzedakah. Tshuva and tfila and tzedakah, mavir and Nisroa, gzeira, they get rid of the evil decree. The Rambam's tshuva process is years. It's you know, it's 12 steps. But what do you mean tshuva is going to save us from the evil decree? It's going to take us years to do the tshuva the way the Rambam described the process. Is that what it means? So what good does that do us? And what do you mean tefillah? Like, God, please forgive me, but I'm not making any changes. So God's going to sure no problem. Like, right? You know, I didn't do anything different. I'm not going to do anything different. But you know what, God, be a nice guy, forgive me. That doesn't make sense. What's and then tzedakah. I mean, tzedakah is a mitzvah. There's a lot of mitzvahs. Why specifically tzedakah? Well, you're paying off God. Do whatever the heck you want, then write a big check. Chas v'shalom. Is that what it means? That's what we're going to explain today. And it all starts with the Rambam. If you turn the page over, the Rambam tells us that everything he said was good and well, but not in reference to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is an entirely different ballgame and a completely different process. We're not dealing with what we would normally say the five-step tshuva process, which takes total change, and the ability to honestly say, I'll never do it again. That could take years, and that video you can say anytime. You know, middle of January, before you go to sleep, right? You put on a robe, and you decide, you know what? I now do X. I never used to. I've been working on it for years. I'm clean. I'm safe. I'm good. I think I can say, I'll never do it again. Say the video, you get a mitzvah, and super duper. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a whole different ballgame. We'll start with Halacha Vav. We'll do Vav, Zayin, Ches. And then we'll tell you Rabbi Yecheskel Sarna. Says the Rambam in Halacha Vav, Afa pisha tshuva, doing tshuva, and Saka, crying out to God, saying vidui, is yafa l'olam. It's always a good thing to do. 24 hours a day, 7 weeks, even 65 days a year. You can do it all the time. It's always a good idea. The 10 days of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, he a Fabio Ter. Oh, then it's more beautiful. Then it's more amazing. Umit kabelet He miyad. It's immediately accepted. What do you mean immediately accepted? You're not a changed person yet.
Yeah.
Different ballgame. This is Aseres Yemei Teshuva, folks. Shenemar brings a pasuk, the Yeshua Hashem b'imat. So, famous pasuk, we're not going to deal with it. And then he makes an interesting point. But medvarem amurim, when is this true, that there's a dramatic difference between generally and Aseres Yemei Teshuva, b'yachid, the individual? Aval tzibur, community, oh. Kozman shasim tshuva v'tzoakim b'lev shalem, whenever they do tshuva and scream out with a full heart, heim nanim, they're answered, Shenemar Kashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Eilav. What's the most famous community that did tshuva and instantaneously got their decree changed, even though really they did not, God did not wait to see how well it would pan out?
Oh, Nineveh.
Nineveh. Yonah walks into town and he starts screaming his head off. 40 days, Nineveh's going to be destroyed. 40 days, Nineveh. Can you imagine what's going on? Some guy says, hey man, who are you? Oh, my name's Yonah. Hi, nice to meet you, Yonah. Who are you? Oh, I'm a prophet of God. Really? Haven't seen you around here before. Yeah, I just got here yesterday. Really? I don't remember any boat docking yesterday.
No, I came with a whale.
Oh, sure. Okay, that's good. Yeah, so what's the scoop, man? 40 days, you're all going to die. 40 days, you're all going to die. And they tell the king, there's some lunatic walking up and down the street, claims he's a prophet of God who got here by a whale, and he says, we're all going to die in 40 days. And what does the king do? Gets off his throne, sits on the ground, puts on sackcloth, and they all fast. And they scream and cry to God. And taka. God changes the decree. Because they're a community. And even though it was just 40 days of crying and fasting, we don't know that it was a permanent change and really a good seaboard. For an individual, that normally does not work, but in Aseres Yemei Teshuva, it does. Why? Halacha Zayin. Yom HaKippurim Uzman Teshuva LaKol. Yom Kippur is a specific time for tshuva for everybody. Yachid, individual, Rabim, community. And here's the punchline. V'hu Ketz Mechila. It's a set, precise time for Mechila and Slicha, for forgiveness for Yisrael. Everybody has to do tshuva, ulizvados, and to confess b'yom kippur, because it's a time of slichu mechila. How often do we do it? A lot. Mitzvat vidui, the mitzvah of vidui, and he's going to tell us what the vidui is, because it can't be the I'll never do it again, that's ridiculous. He's going to tell us what it is. This mitzvah of yom kippur vidui, right? She'atchil me'erev ayom, as we all know, we do it on the eve of Yom Kippur, kodem she'yochal, before we eat our last big meal. We'd have a mincha early, then eat the meal. Famous Rambam, shemi yechanek, what if you don't want to choke? What if you choke at the meal, chas v'shalom, kodem she'yisvade, and you miss the opportunity? So we want to get it in. It's so crucial, because it's so once a year-ish, that it would be a shame, you know, to like die 20 minutes before Yom Kippur and having missed the chance. And then after Bishis Varekor, even though you said Vidui and Mincha Erev Yom Kippur, Chose Mitvadel Balele Yom Kippur, Arvit, you say Vidui again in Myriv twice, quietly, and then that sort of like repetition, Slichos. Chose Mitvadel Shacharit, once again in Shacharis, quietly and publicly. Musaf, quietly, and then Chazar Sashatz. Mincha, quietly, and then publicly. And then of Ne'ila, quietly, and then publicly. And then he tells you where you put it in, and we all know we just follow our machzor. Here's our punchline. So what do you say? So what are we supposed to say? I can't say I'll never do it again, so what am I supposed to say? Havidui, pasuk halacha ches, havidui shenahagu bo kol Yisrael, the vidui, which is accustomed by all the Jewish people, on Yom Kippur, is aval anachnu chatanu. But we have sinned. For who ikar vidui? That's the ikar vidui. Contrast it to the first Rambam. According to the first Rambam, what was the ikar, the essence of the vidui? I'll never do it again. Right? He said that was the ikar. Without the I'll never do it again, it's not vidui. That's during the year. That's a regular five-step tshuva process. It'll take you whatever you can do it, do it. The vidui on Yom Kippur is... I messed up. And what are you going to do about it? Whatever I can. The Iker, the Vidui on Yom Kippur is Aval anachnu chatanu. Let me explain to you something. What we're trying to do is get ourselves written in the Sefer HaChaim. As we said last week, the book of who will live, who are alive, and who are dead. We have to prove to HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're alive. Why should he give us another year? For what purpose? If you go up, walk into Yom Kippur saying, I did a lot of bad stuff, but I really don't give a hoot, and I really don't care, and when is this stupid thing over, because I want to go to the beach. So, okay, that's who you are, and God looks at you that way. If you walk into Yom Kippur and say, there's stuff I need to work on. I'm cognizant of the stuff I got to do. What am I going to do about it? It's crystal clear among the Mephorshim. Say whatever you can. The Rambam doesn't proscribe what to say about your sins. Say whatever you can say. Like, for that thing, I'm going to buy a book and read about it. I really don't understand it. They say it's wrong. I believe it. Okay, I guess it's wrong, but it makes zero sense to me. And this year, I'm going to buy, there's a book out that I saw, I'm going to buy the book and read the book. And that may be the best and smartest thing to do. And God will say, good, I wouldn't expect more. That's very fair. Of course, you should get another year so you can read the book. If that's what you're, that's a great idea. What are you going to do about this? This, you know, my new teenagers. I don't get along with my mom. What are you going to do about it? I'm finally going to go to a therapist, which is what my principal has been telling me I need to do. I'm going to go to a therapist. Great. All right. You're not going to be able to do keep on a vape. You don't go to a therapist. Okay. Good. You're alive. You're healthy. That thing, what are you going to do about that? God, I'm not going to do nothing. That is so beyond where I am now. I so don't get it. It's so like, I can't for the life of me. It's like next year. I remember last year I spoke about it. It was the first year I even knew about it, right? And I said, give me a couple of years on that one. I still need a couple. That's not, I got a lot of other things to worry about right now. I can't even begin to think about that. Right? I'm not saying it's the right thing. I read it. I was 100%. I see. It's not what you're supposed to do, I guess. That's what they say. I buy it. But there's actually nothing I can do about it right now. It would be counterproductive to knock my head against a brick wall. But we're going to save that for another year or two. And if that's correct, God will say, good. Okay. As long as you're not saying, drop dead, I don't care. I'm perfect. I'm fine. I'm great. That's not what God wants to hear. Right, yeah, I'm just using scheme to kind of right? And that's why. The whole Hashamnu, Bogadnu, Gazalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, you know, the whole King Kong, you know, bam, bam, bam. I don't know why so many people misunderstand it. It's crystal clear. The Hashamnu, Bogadnu, Gazalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, right? They have a chatanu, ay, 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 Hashamnu, Bogadnu, Gazalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, Evinu, Visharnu. Those are generic words. Hashamnu, we are guilty. What does that mean? I don't know what it means. Bogad, we rebuild. And what, how, who, what? Those words are not meant to be meaningful in and of themselves. It was simply a mnemonic. Under the assumption that you're a Hebrew speaker, and you live Hebrew, and you think Hebrew, and Hebrew's your language, which, you know, supposed to be, right, of course. So Chazal just set up a list that follows the Aleph base to be a trigger. Hashamnu, Aleph. Now think of the things you need to work on that begin with an Aleph. Ochel, eating. I don't always make a bracha before I eat. Like I forget. I know sometimes I'm going to stay more cognizant of that. Right, I'm going to work on that a little bit. Ochel. I eat very unhealthy foods, which you're not allowed to do that. I know my doctor said, and I still eat it. And like I'm asking for a miracle, which is not right. I'm going to work on that. Ochel food. I don't know. I eat things. I don't know that are not kosher. I don't know. I don't know. Right. Bug. God knew bays, brachos. I mumble my brachos. I don't know which bracha to make on things. I really should start figuring it out. I just make a shackle on everything. I'm an idiot. I should like Google things and at least the things I eat, at least find out the right bracha. It's not all that hard. You know, after Yom Kippur, I'm going to make a list of three or four things that I eat a lot and just Google it and find out what's the correct bracha, because that's irresponsible. Brachos, bays, I don't know, right? You know, gimel, gazalnu, gimel, gaisi. I'm very haughty. I'm always putting down everybody else. I look at all other Jews as no good, right? That's very haughty of me. That's not right. It's a tough one for me, God. And You know, but I'm whatever I'm going to do. Now, Dalit, Dibor, Dalit, Dalit, Dibor, that's easy. Dibor, I speak not nicely about certain Jews. I don't know. That's all they meant to do, right? Dibarno dofe, I spoke inappropriately. It's what does that mean, right? That's what they meant. So if you think it...
What's that they meant?
They meant is take the word, it's a generic word, use it as a springboard for that Hebrew letter. Dibarnu dofi, that's a springboard for anything you do wrong that would begin with a dalet. At the end of the Art Scroll book, to take the whole vidui and give you that whole list. They translated the word havinu, so just say havinu. I went off the path. Why they bother to put stuff in the back? Because they knew that the word havinu in Hebrew or English or whatever it is was not what Chazal wanted you to think. They wanted you to use havinu. It's a generic term for like misdoing things, but you got to specify the sin. The Rambam's clear that you got to specify what you're talking about. So they used havinu as a mnemonic so that you would, since you're thinking Hebrew, that when you say havinu, which is a generic, I'm not such a good guy, but that doesn't count, right? You're supposed to build specifics. You would think of all the things you need to work on that begin with the letter hey, right? Hey's a hard one. But you think with the letter hey. And then you would list and discuss with the good Lord whatever things you work on. There's a list of 20 things that begin with the letter hey. 15 of them are not relevant to you at all. That's not your problem. 5 are relevant. So you go through all the things that begin with the letter hey that fit you. Whatever it is. Things that begin with hey is a hard one, right? Ches, chil Hashem, chil Shemayim, right? Chol Hamoed, right? Is a little easier of a list. So you go through all the things that begin with the letter ches, right? And you discuss it with God. You say, I have a problem with Chol Hamoed, I don't deal with it right. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to find out about it. Ches, Chil Hashem, I make Chil Hashem because when I'm outside, I know I look religious and I should be more careful how I do things because people look at me as a religious person. I got to work on that. What else is Ches? I don't know. I can't think of anything else with a Ches at the moment. But that's the point. The point, and if you don't read the Hebrew or you don't understand the Hebrew, you don't have to say the Hebrew. They didn't mean, it's not like Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is a pasuk which you have to say. When they set up Hashem the Baganu Gazal Nibarnu Dovi Avinu Mishanu Zadnu Chamasnu Tafalnu Sheker Yoatzira Kizavnu, right, Latsnu Moradnu Moradnu, we rebelled, right, all they wanted you to do was take the word Moradnu and say Mem. Okay, is there any things that I don't do right to begin with the letter Mem? And what do you tell the good Lord about that? Not that you'll never do it again. The Rambam is very clear. Just say, Aval anachnu chatanu. I have these sins. I have these problems. I can't think of what else begins with mem, right? Something, right? Lamed is easy because that's low, right? Lo tzipisi reshua. I did not await the geula. Latsnu, low, I didn't say mea brachas every day, and it's a big deal. I heard about it. I should really try and do that. Lamed, low. Lashon hara, I spoke badly against people. Lamed, right? So therefore, the vidui on Yom Kippur is dramatically different than the vidui that the Rama was talking about that we do all year round. The vidui on Yom Kippur, you don't say I'm never going to do it again because that's ludicrous, right? The vidui on Yom Kippur is, well, it's, I mean, it might be fitting for 2 or 3 things, but it's certainly not that long list. Listen, wait, you can say I'll never do it again. Of course say I'll
you
never
don't
do it again.
You say you're never doing it again. You know something that you want to stop doing.
Yeah, I'm doing Rambam. I don't know anything but the Rambam. I'm just doing the Rambam. The Rambam gives you 2 viduis. One is either say I'll never do it again, if you can say that, and that's the proper
one
real, right? No, that's at some.
That's what
you can build a sukkah which looks really cute, but if it ain't a kosher sukkah, it ain't a sukkah. God decides what's a sukkah. So it's nice, it's a booth, it looks pretty, but it was built halachically incorrectly, it ain't a sukkah. Part of the process of growing is I'm going to work on it, I'm going to do it for 2 days, do it for 5 days. We went through that last week, that's right. The Rambam says the mitzvah min haTorah of vidui is only when you're finally at a point, which as we said could take tens of years, could take 2 days, depends what it is, and which you say, he's a great guy, and God loves him, and God give him another year. But there's 2 viduis the Rambam talks about. There's either the extreme vidui, which is the hisvado sartama shar asu, which is when you can say, I'll never do it again because you've completed the full, complete tshuva process, and you're completely fine, so you'll get to heaven and God won't be mad at you because you can't say that. No, you're not being fair to people. You're not being fair to people because it's people who have worked and they in good conscience can say, there are things you can say in good conscience that all things being equal, people crash, but it's not a struggle. I can say, I'm never going to eat a cheeseburger. Doesn't mean I'll crash one day, I'll be starving somewhere. I don't eat cheeseburgers. I don't struggle with cheeseburgers. I don't eat cheeseburgers, right? I don't eat cheeseburgers, right? I can say that. I'm not going to say I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara again. I can't say that. I had a good conscience say that. Because I can't in good conscience say that. Because I know exactly where I am. I can't say I'll never do it again. I can say I'm going to try to work on it and get to a point. You got to get the Rambam's words. We're dealing with a halachic process. You're dealing with a healing process. The Rambam is not doing psychology healing. How do you get to the point? That's a separate topic. And that's correct and true. The Rambam is giving you a halachic definition of two different types of viduis. The extreme one is I'll never do it again, which may take you years to get to, and maybe God knows that you can't get to it. Not always, depends, 100%. There's no always, for God's sakes. But that's one pop vidui, take it or leave it. There's another vidui on Yom Kippur. I don't want to discuss it, that's what the Rambam says. You don't like it, so don't deal with it, or you're right, so you'll never say that vidui. If you believe you can't do it, if you believe, so the Rambam's not angry with you. I'm not angry with you. God is probably not angry with you. No one's angry at you. I'm not upset. I'm just telling what the Rambam says. So know what the Rambam says. Read the words. It's the words of the Rambam. La'olam eini chozer ledavar hazeot. I put it in, right? La'olam eini chozer ledavar hazeot. If you can get to it, you can get to it. The vidui on Yom Kippur, and I'm going to get going because I want to get the vortei v'chizkel sarna. The vidui on Yom Kippur is not that, because it's very rare and very difficult to reach a point where I can say, La'olam eini chozer ledavar hazeot, I'll never do it again. The vidui on Yom Kippur, to get another year, is simply to list your sins, but you have to specify it. The Ashanu Bogadnu is just a generic Hebrew words. The Ashanu Bogadnu, if Hebrew doesn't speak to you at all, then just forget the words Ashanu Bogadnu in Hebrew and just go. And just go with the English, if Hebrew's meaningless for you. And go with the English and just list the things. And list. No, we can't because I have to leave. So again, according to the Rambam, it's crystal clear. The vidui on Yom Kippur is not the vidui that the Torah is talking about, if it's Savados Chatos HaMashir Asu, which is a mitzvah in a Torah to do vidui at the end of the tshuva process. The vidui on Yom Kippur is not at the end of the tshuva process, because the vidui on Yom Kippur, the Rambam doesn't list you anything at all specifically to say about the sin you did, because the Rambam can't tell you what to say, because it depends on every person. All the Rambam says is you have to say is Aval Anachnu Chatanu. But do remember, Anachnu Chatanu, you can't just say I have sinned, and then that's the end of your Shemona Esrei, right? That's not what he means. He means that we have sinned, and you still have to specify and delineate the sins that you have done in any language that works for you, right? It doesn't make a difference, right? And what are you going to say about the sins that you have done? Whatever you can. That's why the Rambam doesn't proscribe, unlike the Vidui Min HaTorah, where he does proscribe. Here he doesn't proscribe what to say, because all you can say is what you can say. I'm going to work on it 2 years from now. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to ask a shayla. I'm going to go for help. I'm going to ask a rabbi. I'm going to try once a week. I'm going to try twice a week. Whatever. I'm not going to try at all this year, because it's beyond me. Whatever you can honestly say, because you're trying to give a Kodesh Baruch Hu a reason why he should bother to give you another year. You need to show him that you're alive. So by showing him that you are cognizant of what you need to work on, and you have a credible plan, right, of some sort, which might be leaving this for 3 years from now, and that might be credible and intelligent, right? That's fine. That's what the Rambam says, and that's why it's a case mechila. Once a Kodesh Baruch Hu hears that you've delineated, you're cognizant of what the things that you need to work on in whatever language you say it in, right? And that's crucial that you speak it out in a language you understand, to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give him an accounting of where you're holding. Once he hears that you're cognizant and you have a credible, workable plan of what you're going to do about each of those things, Kates Mechila, you're forgiven in the sense that you'll be written in the Book of Chaim, because there's every reason to keep you around. If you're If you're not, if you don't seem to care at all, then that's going to be problematic. Well, you need to give a Kutcherberg a reason why you're worthwhile keeping around. So now that fits in. So what does it mean, tshuva tefilot tztaka mavir nesro ha-gzera? What do you mean, tshuva? The only tshuva we've heard is the Rambam's tshuva, and that doesn't happen on Yom Kippur, right? Tshuva is a whole five-step process. With, you know, stopping through the sin, it's not a struggle anymore. You know how long it takes for something not to be a struggle anymore? So what does it mean, tshuva will change the evil decree? What does that mean when we say, tshuva tefilot tztaka mavir nesro ha-gzera? And how does that fit into the Rambam's new type of vidui? So the best shot I ever saw is Rav Yecheskel Sarnezatzal. Rosh Shiva of Chevra, says like this. He writes that he saw one of his students walking around Elul, and he was very depressed. He looked very unhappy. So Rosh Shiva asked him, why are you so unhappy? What are you so worried about? He said, well, tshuva, you got to do tshuva. Tshuva tefillah tztaka, tshuva. I read the Rambam, tshuva, five-step process. Stop doing it. It's not even a struggle anymore. I can't do that in 10 days, right? That'll take forever. So I'm ruined. Tshuva takes away the evil decree, and the Rambam's tshuva, it'll take me 20 years. So said Rav Yecheskel Sarna, that's true. But that's not the tshuva we're talking about here. We're talking about the tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. Shari tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. What's the tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah? Rabbeinu Yonah says, what's pshat tshuva, as in tshuva will take away the evil decree? Says Rabbeinu Yonah. The Hebrew words are, sheyit yatsev al derech tov, that you should stand yourself up on the correct path. What does that mean? Rabbi Saul Salanter explains it like this with a great mushel, mamash, a life-changing mushel. He says like this. There's a guy who's going to walk from, he's walking from Warsaw to Vilna. People tell me, so one day walk, and one day he can walk from Warsaw to Vilna. So he walks for a day, no Vilna. So he says, okay, maybe I'll walk slow. So he walks for another day, no Vilna. So he's in some little village, and he says, hey, I was told it's a one-day walk from Warsaw to Vilna. Yes, it is. Well, I've been walking for 2 days. Where the heck, where's Vilna? He said, oh, it's a one-day walk. If you walk east, you've been walking west, man. You're now 3 days from Vilna. So it's, oh, no. And he turns around. Esther Bissell Salanter, when was he closest to Vilna? When he left his house, he was only 1 day away, but facing the wrong direction. Now he's 3 days away, but he's facing the right direction. That's when he's closest to Vilna. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah means, she yatsev al derech tov. You got to get yourself standing on the right path. You haven't made it all the way down the path yet. It could take 20 years, right? But the tshuva, as in tshuva tefilot tztaka, is that you're facing the right direction. You're facing the right direction. You're right. Maybe last year you were only 1 day away, and you had a bad year, and you went down, and you messed up, and you were irresponsible, and now you're 3 days away. But it's Yom Kippur, and you list out the things that you know you do have to work on, and you know certain things you've fallen back on, but you make a credible plan. It's like, this year, here's my plan. I'm going to try and do better. Here's my plan. So at least God sees you. Maybe you're further away from Vilna than you were last, or actually, but you're facing the right direction. You've been facing the wrong direction. Now you're facing the right direction. Of course, we'll give you another year. You're facing the right direction. As long as you're facing the right direction, okay, there's hope. Okay, so we'll give you another year. Start walking. Bam! Right? And then next year, we'll see how far you got in your three-day walk, right? And then maybe you'll walk a day and then step back half a day. We'll worry about it next year. But that's pshat the tshuva. It's not the Rambam's five-step process. It takes for a long time. It takes, I mean, depending on the day, or depending on the person, depending on a million things, it could take, certainly takes more than 10 days to stop doing it, and it's not even a struggle anymore, right? That doesn't happen in 10 days, right? That's a whole process, right? Therefore, says the Rav Yecheskel Sarna, the tshuva we're talking about here is not that five-step tshuva process. It's all year round. What a Kodesh Baruch is looking for here for tshuva tefilot tztaka is that at least you're facing the right direction. Are you turning around and facing the right direction? Yit yatsev, you're standing on the right path. You're 5 days away, but at least you're on the right road. Now you're at least on the road, right? Far down the road, but you weren't on the road. Now you're on the road. That's all we're asking for. And that gets accomplished by the vidui, as the Rambam said. Just say, I have done things wrong, I know what I've done wrong, and I'm going to make what I believe is a credible plan, which granted will now take 3 years. If I would have thought about this last year, maybe it would have been quicker, but that's where I am, and that's tshuva. What about tefillah? How does tefillah change the evil decree? As we said so many times, what's tefillah? Tefillah is accepting the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who's in charge. Right? We say before Refaino Hashem, Benerafe. If Hashem heals us, we'll be healed. I mean, that seems like a silly statement. Obviously, if God heals us, we'll be healed. What does that mean? Right? Put the emphasis in the right spot. Referring to Hashem, v'nei rofe. If Hashem heals us, then we'll be healed. But if Hashem doesn't heal us, nothing's going to help. Obviously, you got to do your establishment. You can't, like, smoke 20 packs of cigarettes a day. Say, go for it, God. Can't rely on miracles. But you could be healthy. You could do all the right things. If God wants you to, God forbid, get run over by a truck, it's going to happen. Right? God can do anything he wants. Hashem has to heal us. We got to do our part. But if Hashem doesn't want us to be healed, there's nothing in the world that's going to help. And if Hashem wants us to be healed, come heck or high water, we will be healed. By davening, by asking Hashem, b'sefachayim, come, you are the one who will decide if we will have bracha, v'shalom, parnasa tova, zachreinu l'chaim, you know, all those things. Who's going to decide that? Not the fact that it's not my accountant, and it's not my world-class doctor, right? And it's not my savings in the bank, right? You got to have a doctor, and you got to save money, 100%, you have to have an accountant, right? But who controls it? By accepting the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls it, that's Mavir Nisro Agzer. You accept the fact HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine. If you understand that I control it, if you think you're in charge, then God forbid, so go ahead, then you try and do it on your own, man, right? But we accept the fact HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, that'll get rid of the evil decrees. I'll give us another year. And tzedakah. Listen to Shimshon Rafael Hirsch. Says Hirsch, why is tzedakah such a big deal? Tshuva tefillah, tzedakah gets rid of the evil decree. Tzedakah, tzedakah taso mimaves, tzedakah. If you remember, tzedakah is a big deal. Why is tzedakah such a big deal? I mean, a lot of Shabbos is a big deal. There's a lot of big deals, right? But tzedakah seems to be a very big deal. Says Hirsch like this. Giving tzedakah is representative of the concept that you realize that the resources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you are not yours. They're an expense account to use to tikkun olam, world a better place. God gave you an expense account. It's not your own personal money for you to do whatever you want with. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money, which he chose to deposit by you, for whatever reason he chose to deposit it by you, so that hospitals could get built, and weddings could be made, and the yeshivas could be established, and you know, whatever, all the stuff that needs money, right? Needs money. So God deposited it by you. He didn't deposit it by me, by the way, but he deposited it by a lot of people, right? I mean, he deposited me a little bit, right? Some people he deposited a lot of it. But it's crystal clear. Tzedakah is not, Rav Moshe Feinstein says it, lahalacha. The idea of giving a tenth is not just of your money, it's of your resources. You have organizational skills. God can give you a lot of money. Like you give, you know, 100 bucks a year, that's all you got. But God gave you organizational talents. You could use it to organize, you know, organize crime. You could use it to organize fundraisers. You could use it to organize your next-door neighbor's house who's like just so schlimperdick and it's just so, and says, let me help you, let me help you. Watch, put the causes like this and make your life a better life. You have good listening skills. You're a good listener. That's very hard to be a good listener. You're a good listener. People can come and tell you the problems. They say, and they feel so, oh, thank you so much for listening. You have the time to do it, Baruch Hashem. That's a resource. Give that as tzedakah. You can put a smile on people's faces. You make a joke and then lighten the load. That's a resource. You have, I don't know, in school I used to tell girls, you have the ability to like know how to pick clothes to make yourself look nice. Some other girl doesn't have that talent, right? You know, she always looks like a little mismatch. It's a resource. Help her figure out. You know what? Here, why don't you wear that with this and wear that? You look like $1,000,000. Well, thank you. It's a resource. Help her do that. Everybody has some kind of resource. You have extra time. Baruch Hashem, you have time. There's places that need people with time, right? Nobody has time. Give your time. Moshe says that clearly, right? So give mice around your free time, right? Give mice around your whatever. You have a teaching abilities. You have a chvesos, I don't know, tower mates. You do a telephone thing, you know, have all these sort of things. Then you're good at bicker cholim. You can walk into a hospital room and make small talk. You're good at that. Not everybody's good at that. You happen to be good at that. Walk in, bring a smile, make small talk, walk out. You happen to be talented in that. You got the time. There's your resource. Don't give $10 million and build a hospital. God didn't give you $10 million. But be the guy that, you know, volunteers one day a week, walks around with some candy and coffee and schmoozes a little bit, and you spend an hour doing it and make people feel like $1,000,000. Also tzedakah. The concept, again, is you're showing a Kodesh Baruch Hu that Everything you have are resources to be used for his values, not your own personal stuff. So therefore, of course, he wants to keep you around because you understand. If you don't understand that, so why should I give you that? Just so you should just use it selfishly and just, you know, sit on the beach 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and care only about yourself, right? So why would I give you that stuff, right? But if you understand that that's not why I gave it to you, I see it's not why I gave it to you, so you understand this why I gave it to you, then of course, then we will buy you here to keep doing that. So even if you didn't do that so much last year, right, because maybe you weren't cognizant, you weren't thinking, you weren't paying attention, you're right, you sort of like lost yourself, it was a tough year. You show up, Kodesh Baruch Hu, okay, I wasn't so cognizant, I wasn't thinking, but the truth be told, I do have a little extra time, I do have a little extra money, I do have an extra resource, it is really yours, it's not mine, I was a little bit selfish last year, I get it, Kodesh Baruch Hu, no, give me another year, Sefer Chaim, and I'm really going to try and use those resources a little more intelligently, because they are yours. I know I didn't always act like that, but that's my plan, so I'm working on it. Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah's tshuva. Sorry, tshuva is Rabbeinu Yonah. Put yourself on the right path. You just save al derech tov. Not the Rambam's five step. You don't do it again, and you don't even think about doing it again. It's not even a struggle anymore. Halavai, right? That'd be great, right? And whatever you can say, if you can say that on Yom Kippur about stuff, that's great, of course. But on so many things, we're still within the process, right? So it's a shari tshuva, just at least you're on the right path. I'm not at the end of the road. I'm not never going to do it again. I'm not even going to start not doing it again. Like I'm at the stage of I'll buy a book and maybe read it. That's about as far as I could go on that one, right? But okay, God knows that that doesn't think you can do any better than that, and I ask you to do anything better than that. But at least you admit it's an issue. Which I completely don't understand, but I saw a good book came out, and I'm going to buy the book, even though I don't really want to know what it says, because they might be right, but I'm going to be honest about this and read the book, or whatever, right? That's the Rambam's Avalanatu Chata. Cognizant, list them in whatever a language works for you, talk it out. It's a discussion with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, a real discussion with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You don't have to race through your Shmon Esrei, however long it takes. Don't worry about the Chazan, let him do his thing. You just say what you got to say, right? Somebody said, wow, if I do that, so every Shmon Esrei will take forever. What many people do is they divide and conquer. Meaning, in the Mar Shmon Esrei, I have like a sort of list of about 15, 20 things that I want to talk to God about. So I'm going to do five at one Shmon Esrei, then the other five things I'm going to do the other Shmon Esrei, and then I have some Ben Adam HaChaver issues. I'm going to discuss with God that at Mincha time, and I have a couple other issues. You could. You want to like stand there for like 3 hours till you get through your long list, if your list is very long. But that also works. That's why there's so many times, because sometimes you focus on something, sometimes you focus on another, sometimes you pay more attention, sometimes you pay less attention, right? That's human beings. We struggle with focusing, unfortunately. But that's the idea. You listen, you make a credible plan. That's all Yom Kippur asks for. That's all Yom Kippur. Avalanatu Chatanu. Rambam doesn't ask for anything else, right? You decide what you want to say about Avalanatu Chatanu. And as long as it's credible, that's tshuva. You're on the right path. At least you're facing the right direction, for gosh sakes. That's an accomplishment. You're 3 days away. Not even one day away. It was a bad move, but you're facing the right direction. As Rosh Salanter said, once you've turned around, you're closer than you were when you started because you're facing the right direction. If you're facing the wrong direction, you're not one day away. You're completely away. You're in the wrong direction. In the wrong direction. Facing the right direction, tefillah, because Baruch is the one who decides how much money I'll have, not my accountant, right? Not that you shouldn't have accountants, right? Chas v'shalom, of course. You don't rely on miracles. And tzedakah, I have resources. I would like some more resources because I will use those resources for the better of the world. As we say, we wish everybody shalom tova u'mesuka. Why tova u'mesuka? Because it's going to be tova. Everything God does is for the best, right? But sometimes the good things he does aren't so tasty. There's medicines that save our lives, but they're pretty bitter, right? Right? But they're good, but they're bitter. So Kodesh Baruch always says good, but we would ask that the good that he gives us is good that is sweet rather than hopefully not good, which would unfortunately might have to be bitter. That's our Shana Tova Masuka.